You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
Do you want to start with M or you want to start with NERD?
Man, I think we're on a nice trajectory up. So maybe we'll audible it and go with NERD.
Okay.
Ah, boy, your man.
I have a lot to say about this album.
Oh boy, you know what? You get all your bars off because I feel like I've been talking a lot this episode.
No. Listen, NERD is at the crux of our friendship. Right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, that first album is like it's a touchstone, right? And you know, they have evolved their sound, and then they sort of, you know, kind of their last, you know, they kind of trailed off a little bit after Seeing Sounds, and then and all of a sudden they're back. Here's what I'm trying to figure out, and I actually want to go track by track on this. What I was trying to figure out while listening to this is, what exactly is an NERD album?
Right. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Because
so NERD is ostensibly, right, it's Shay, Chad, and Pharrell. And
allegedly.
And historically, there's also been a lot of playing on the album by members of Spy Mop, which was the rock group that they signed back in 2001, 2002. Then for the second album, they learned how to do drums themselves, but they kept the guitar guy around. And so the guitar guy from Spy Mop still plays with Pharrell all the time.
Ah, so this is like if Puff would have kept a member of Fuzzbubble.
Right. And so if you go back and look at the credits, like the credits were always, you know, written by Chad and Pharrell, production by the Neptunes with additional stuff from whoever. And then Shay, you know, Shay's got
maracas. Shay was playing PlayStation.
He was the hype man, kind of.
Yeah.
With some occasional vocals, you know.
What vocals was Shay? What song was Shay on?
Shay's on a lot of songs that you don't think it's Shay on.
Okay.
It's if there's.
Yeah, but I was legitimately asking.
Oh, like when there's a lot of cases where it's like, if you, I don't know, if it sounds like talk rapping, it might be Shay. Anyway, so I looked at the credits for this album very carefully. There's no Chad writing credits on here anywhere.
Really?
Chad and actually the guy from Spy Mob pop up on three songs. I will call out. They are coincidentally on the same, like it's either always Pharrell by himself or Pharrell with Chad and Spy Mob and actually Thundercat on bass.
Okay.
But it's always those two configurations for making this album. And I think it's interesting because I'm like, on the one hand, maybe it doesn't matter, but like NERD used to mean something in terms of a sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what is the difference between an NERD record where Pharrell is doing most of the work and a Pharrell solo album is beyond me. Aside from Chad and Shay want to go on tour. I mean, I'm not sure. You know what I mean?
I think that this album is the first album in a while where I actually heard NERD DNA. Mm. It didn't, with this album, I didn't really feel like, well, it wasn't like Nothing.
Yeah, Nothing was a very, Nothing, we can, the less that's said about Nothing, maybe the better. It's not terrible, but.
That was a weird time for music too.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird time for me. That's what was that? 09?
10.
10, yeah. So that was a weird time for music. I feel like that was when things were getting, like, starting to transition into that Drake-y 808s era. So, you know, it just didn't feel right. It didn't sound right. And I went back and listened to that this week, and it's not a good album to me.
Yeah.
Seeing Sounds didn't age as well as I wanted it to. And maybe that's because I played it out.
There are still, like, just undeniable, classic, amazing tracks on Seeing Sounds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. 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 That goes without saying. But yeah, let's reiterate that. But yeah, so when I heard this album, the first time I heard it, I was like, okay, it's 30 degrees outside and there's snow on the ground. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's trash. But today was a little warmer out. Yesterday was a little warmer out. So when I listened to them the last 2 days, it just sounds completely different. This album is going to be really, really dope in like April.
So the first single, the first track is Lemon with Rihanna.
Yep.
So this is a Pharrell and Rihanna song from 2015, basically.
Right.
Which is fine. Let me say something, get out of the way, because it's all over this album and it's just impossible to ignore. Two things. Number one, I don't know how I feel about Pharrell's drums. You know, there is a classic Neptunes drum sound. I'm not expecting him to have that, but they were at least sort of a signature and kind of unique. And then the NERD sound was always, well, what if we did that but played it live?
Mm-hmm.
This song, this album is almost entirely 808s.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very digital, crisp drum sound. And it's jarring because that is not at all what I think about when I think about NERD. And then
I think...
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, and then the other thing that this song also features that is all over this album is Pharrell loves this trick of, well, we're going to start the beat at this tempo and then we're going to cut it in half.
Yep. He does that a lot on this album.
It's got to be at least 7 or 8 tracks out of 10 on this album where that's half of that, or however many tracks are on here. 11 tracks. There's got to be at least 7, if not more, tracks where that happens. And I have opinions about that, but it's interesting. People love Rihanna on this. I think Rihanna's fine on this song. I think the second half, I think her part of the song is better. I think the beat switch really helps. This is not even close to my favorite song on the album. It's probably one of the weaker ones to me. I kind of skipped this record.
I agree with that too. I'll say this though. One thing I don't like about Pharrell features, when people do songs with Pharrell, it's clear as day that Pharrell is basically telling them what to say and how to say it.
Mm.
So it doesn't even feel like Rihanna is doing this song. It's Rihanna impersonating Pharrell.
Yeah, Rihanna does not sound like Rihanna on this to me
at all. Just even Gucci Mane on Voila, he sounds like he's impersonating Pharrell.
Yeah.
Even the MIA record, Kites, like it sounds like.
Oh, I Pharrell can't wait to talk about MIA. Kites.
Wait, okay, we'll get there. I'm sorry. Woo! Just make this point. But like, it's like, breathe. It's like Pharrell's telling MIA, this is how I want you to sing. And it's dope because Pharrell's a genius, but at the same time, and like, I wish there was more like of a collaborative DNA on some of these songs. Well, I would have loved to, again, that Roots story just completely throws me off to Pharrell collabs.
Mm.
Like it's just clear and clear. I just believe that that Quest was telling the truth, that Pharrell is just very controlling in the studio. And this is what he wants to do. This is how he wants it to sound. And this is how it's going to go. And because Pharrell's Pharrell, people go along with it.
Mm.
But anyway, track by track. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So Pharrell, I mean, for the most part, Pharrell is like listed as like the primary producer. As with all Rihanna tracks, Cacarel, who co-produces everything that Rihanna's on, because he's like her vocal producer, whatever that's supposed to mean. So track two, Deep Down Body Thirst.
Mm-hmm.
So this is entirely written and produced by Pharrell, but we got Chad on synth. We got the Spy Mob guy on guitar. We got Thundercat on bass. And man, when those warm NERD synths come in, I'm like,
yes, yes.
But then the tempo picks up.
Yeah.
And we get kind of like, imagine if you did Fly or Die.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm not sure I love the drums.
I don't. I don't like the tempo switch or the drum switch.
But then the half speed beat switch on this, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That works. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around NERD synths and like trap drum patterns, but
it works. It works sometimes. It works in this case.
I'm going to say something about this song. I'm going to say about a lot of songs. I really like parts of this, and I'm not sure about the rest of it.
I agree with that. Yep.
But yeah, definitely. I felt a real callback to Fly or Die. There's a couple tracks on here where I'm like, wow, I wasn't expecting a Fly or Die callback.
Yep. I agree.
But I mostly like Deep Down Body Thirst.
Yeah, I don't like the hook.
Well, yeah,
I don't like. I don't want to hear Six Pharrells chanting Deep Down Body Thirst.
Deep Down Body Thirst. Yeah.
I was like Gator. Yeah, Gator. No, nah, I'm good. All Sport was better anyway. But I digress.
Do you want to talk about Wale?
Actually, not really, because I'm not crazy about this.
So
song.
Gucci Mane and Wale.
so let's talk about it.
Well, hold on. So. This also has Chad and the Duke from Spy Mob on it. I like Gucci on this. I think Gucci works well on this.
Listen, what is the name of that Gucci Mane and Pharrell record? Is it Lemon? Is it it's Lemonade?
I want to say it's Lemonade. No way.
I almost want to. Because I know he has the other song called Lemonade. Haterade.
Right, because isn't Lemonade the record produced
Lemonade
by...
is his... That's the... Dun, 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 yeah. dun, dun,
oh,
dun,
Bangladesh.
Yeah, Bangladesh. But, Haterade. Like, the problem is this beat is so crazy, but Gucci and Nicki had no idea what to do with this. Small to tall and shall not stall, been blind too long. Come on, man.
That's cool.
Nah, that's dope. We're not doing cool. I'm just gonna play till Gucci comes on, cause then Gucci's like, I don't know what Gucci's doing. Nope. But this is, that was clearly like, at the time, this 2010, so Gucci's like the hottest commodity right now. Right. Gets in the studio with Pharrell. Pharrell is like, this is what I think you'd sound good on. And Gucci being a new artist is kind of like, all right. And it just didn't work.
Right.
I think that beat is dope.
Now whatever. I just want to hear Lemonade. Anyway. Oh, man, that beat is hard. Anyway. I was fine. I don't like the beat for Wale's part, and I just don't like Wale's part in general, and I could do entirely without it. Mm-hmm. But I like Gucci's part. I like the, I think it kind of works. But we can move on to 1000 with Future.
Yeah, so we talked about 1000 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we didn't like it.
Right. Have you changed?
Is it just me? Does it sound... the album like helps out the song a lot.
Well, so here we get Pharrell... again, trying to almost do this like upbeat, almost like pop punk inspired fly or die type music, except on 1000, it is not warm and analog, like it's digital and very cold. I deserve that. and I just can't stand the 1100s. Like, I just cannot stand the upbeat part of this. Now, the halftime beat switch kind of works.
Yeah, halftime switch.
It's dope. Pharrell, it's almost like Pharrell's like, what can I do with these basic like drums? And I don't really know how this is NERD exactly. I mean, there's a lot of like stuff that gets thrown together here and kind of comboed on this all over this album. I like the slowdown beat's kind of dope. But the rest of the song, I'm like, oh, I can't get past that hook. It's just drives me crazy.
Whoa.
But you like 1000 now.
Yeah, it's better. Okay. I like that. I think the halftime part helps it out a lot. I definitely do not need Nevadius on here. But it's cool. I'm not mad at it. I want to talk about the next record though.
Don't do it with your boy Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
So we've got Chad and Spy Mob back on the instrumentation as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're driving around listening to this in the car this weekend. Marissa's like, the first part of this, she's like, this sounds like elevator music. and then we go from that really laid back elevator music to, again, this up-tempo, like, kind of fly or die-ish feel. Just with stuttering trap hi-hats in the background of the chorus, which totally throw me out of it. But you know me, I'm paying attention to details.
Of course.
I want to give a real shout out to On the Bridge, or you might call it Bridge, you might call it the refrain. That classic Neptune's bass chord progression that comes through and then carries over to Kendrick's verse is super dope. Yes. Sounds like the vintage Neptunes you all know. And then can we talk about Kendrick's verse?
You go ahead.
He crushes this.
What was he talking about?
Doesn't matter. You're talking to the man who likes listening to Bobby Digital, right? Like, what was RZA talking about in 1997? I don't know. Doesn't matter. You just sounds dope.
You just compare Kendrick to RZA. Cerebral cortex.
Yeah.
Enter through your right ventricle, clog up your bloodstream, hot terminal, like Grand Central Station. My bad.
Listen.
I don't mind Kendrick. I actually
you
like
don't
Kendrick.
Mind Kendrick.
Yeah, like it's not crazy. I think you know what my problem is? I think I'm starting to like get over Kendrick.
Mm.
I really think that like Damn really let me down. I don't know if it just started with like No More Parties and it's just went into Damn and just I'm just not on it like that. I don't know what it is, but I'm not crazy about Kendrick like everybody else is. I'm curious to know what he does after this, but
I don't know. I thought he stuck with the theme of the song, right? Like Pharrell is, you know, Pharrell's talking about like, you know, they're going to do it anyway, like talking about police brutality, and Kendrick's coming in and he's talking about, you know, same rules, same chalk, different decade, same law. Like, I mean, he's rapping fast, like he's doing the Kendrick thing, but like I thought it was dope.
Kendrick thing is hilarious.
I mean, yeah, listen, we're going to talk about somebody else later in the show who decided he wanted to get political, and I would much rather hear this.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's go to the next track.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how I feel about ESP.
I don't like ESP.
You know, you'll be stunned to hear once again that there's a beat switch.
Right.
I like the second half of the beat switch. I'm not really sure how I feel about Pharrell essentially doing like a Migos style verse, complete with skirt ad libs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just get Migos.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting. It's different, right? Yeah. I'm starting to think that what Pharrell means by an NERD project is now that he's made Happy, like
right.
he can't make a weird solo album.
Yeah, I thought about that with Girl, and hearing this album made me understand Girl.
Right, because this stuff can't be with Girl.
This stuff cannot, like, Happy came out, and Happy just, honestly, as big as Pharrell was, Happy took him to places that he had never been.
Happy and The Voice, so, basically.
And The Voice, yep. So, you know, he kind of had to make an album that was tailored to that. So it was like Pharrell's attempt at a pop album.
Mm.
So while we were like, oh, I wish Pharrell would do this, this, and this. And I think this is coming off of, was this coming off of Cherry Bomb? So here's Tyler doing his best Pharrell impression. By the way, Tyler's NPR.
Mm. You see,
oh my.
You see, it seems like people think that Tyler's going to make a pop album now because he changed his Twitter bio.
Oh, I saw the highlight. I saw the headline, but I didn't see why.
He changed his Twitter bio to say, I'm making a pop album.
And he should.
Well,
what did we say about Flower Boy? I said his rapping was getting in the way of the production on an album.
Here's like we haven't really talked about it yet, but I mean, the classic NERD sound. Here's the thing, like I mean, I might wish for a little bit more of it on this album, but that's fine. I can go listen to Tyler.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Listen, let me just say this again. If you have not seen Tyler's NPR Tiny Desk concert, make it your business. I'm approaching Stan levels with Tyler.
I should probably figure out what I have to do to go see him live in New York, shouldn't I?
You know what? I saw his tour dates, and at first I was kind of bummed that he wasn't anywhere near Ohio. I don't want to go to an iFuture show. I'm too old. I'm not here. I would get a nice...
You're afraid he's going to play one of those wacky iFuture records?
Wacky is hilarious. One of those zany Odd Future records. Yes, and the kids are going to lose their mind. I would happily take a nosebleed seat at a Tyler, the Creator concert.
Right, because all of a sudden, you know, he switches from something lush to... And you're like, nope, yeah. nope. It's like, it sounds like Six Flags music. And you're just like, nope, I'm good.
Yep, that's some record that was like on his old stuff that I don't know about, but like all the message boards know what that is and they start going crazy.
Listen, nope. You're totally going to have the same people who were at the Childish Gambino show I was at this past summer who were yelling out, play stuff from Camp. And it's like, shut up. Just shut up. Nobody wants to hear Camp.
Nobody would like, do people remember how much flack Childish caught from Camp? Nobody liked Camp. Like Pitchfork liked Camp. And that was it.
That is the go-to rapper dislike. Well, Pitchfork liked him. Ooh.
I mean, because Pitch, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
They don't even hipster right. But anyway. Yeah, okay. So where are we at with NERD?
We need to talk about Lightning Fire Magic Prayer.
Yeah. The longer this song goes, the less I like it.
The longer...
Okay, go ahead. I was gonna say when his son sings the G part and the beat comes in, I love that. But after about a minute and a half, I'm good.
It's kind of a roller coaster for me where it's like, yeah, I'm like, this is really interesting. And then it's really going and I'm like, what in the world is going on? But then it actually, because it keeps moving and changing, by the end, I'm like, I've talked myself into it. There might be like, I hear the song and so this is one of the songs where I'm just like, yeah, like either there is some like high grade drugs involved with the making of this record or like Pharrell is just on another level with sound. Cause like, I don't even know what's going on at some points in this record. It's super creative, super interesting. Like, this is clearly, like, he's just, like, trying stuff, you know?
Yeah. There's, like, I mean, you're sampling your son singing.
Well, right.
Like, so we're already in a different place.
But I get why this is, like, even though it's not, like, even though this isn't, like, Chad's not on the credits or anything like that, like, this actually feels like an NERD record. To me, if this actually feels like one of those things where this would have been the second half of a record that they do some, they would do that. Like, it'd be like, you get to the main part and then you get the switch and all of a sudden, you know, I mean, one of the first songs we ever that we really worked on together sampled that NERD record from the second half that was kind of like out there.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. I see what you're saying. Yep. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Do we want to talk about Rolling Them Sevens?
Man. This.
I can't wait to hear what you think about this.
This song is crazy.
Yep.
This song is crazy. The first time I heard it, I was like, no, absolutely not. And then I skipped the Andre's part and I was like, wait a minute.
Like, when did that beat switch happen?
Yeah. And so I went back and then played it again. And I was like, yo, this is amazing.
So there's two different beats here. Both of them sound like something that belonged on that Great Gatsby soundtrack from a couple years ago.
That I never heard.
Oh, it's a good thing because that J record, $100 bills, is just awful.
I forgot about $100 bill. $100
bill. Yo, yeah. Oof. This song is kind of dope, but really kind of weird. But that beat switch,
Beat switch.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
I don't know what Andre does, but like that flow is ridiculous.
Because when the beat switch happens and Andre is singing at a really low volume about everybody doing the weather dance, all of a sudden I'm like, what are we back in Idlewild? Like,
yeah, I got a little nervous.
Right. But then, you know, when Andre starts rapping, I'm like, oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess the story is, Andre originally had a verse on, you know, on this. He didn't like it. So, you know, they didn't really know what to do with it. But Andre went back and like challenged himself and came back with this, and Pharrell's like, oh yeah, we're keeping this one. This is a crazy creative and crazy insane record. Like, I don't even know where to start with this.
Yep. Just really, 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 really dope.
This is a nice little run that we go on here for a bit.
Yes.
Cause I want to talk about Kites.
Go right ahead.
So that's an uncredited ASAP Rocky on the intro. And then we get to MIA and the drums are kind of holding us back for a little bit, like on the faster tempo part to me, because that MIA melody, like on the hook where it's like the A-O-A-O, like that is crazy dope. But then when the tempo drops down for Kendrick's verse,
oh my God.
Woo! I'm like holding on for dear life as I'm driving around. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That is super dope.
Super dope. Yeah.
I'm not crazy about the fact that I wish that they didn't have the tempo pick up for the second half of his verse.
I agree.
I would love to hear his verse just over the slowed down tempo. But oh my goodness. And then honestly, like they dropped the tempo down again for MIA's verse. And I mean, I know it's MIA, but like, that beat is so crazy slowed down that I'm just like, yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, and it's like a great summary for the album, right? There are parts where I'm like, but then there are parts where you're just like,
whew, yep.
Crazy.
And it's like the Neptunes are freaking geniuses. Yep.
Freaking geniuses.
Yep. I agree. Man. I agree.
You like Kendrick on this?
Yeah. I love this record. Just the I just wish that the slowed down version was just the whole song.
I could say that about six tracks on here.
Right, exactly. But you know, that's cool. But yeah, I do like, I won't, cause that part is so great. I kind of ignore everything else. Mm. But Kites is super dope, super dope. And a good way to end the album, because these last two songs just don't exist.
Right. Anymore. So Secret Life of Tigers. And speaking of Shay, this is Shay at the beginning of the song.
Oh, there you go.
But you know, this is a weird song. So the bass melody on this, I like because it's classic Neptunes, like through and through. But you know, some of this, I'm like, not a fan. I could skip it. It's fine, but you know, whatever.
I agree.
Okay. And then, Lifting You with your boy, Ed Sheeran.
Nope.
Yeah. It's Ed Sheeran and Pharrell with some reggae vibes.
I didn't even get that far.
Yeah. I'm good with this song. So overall, sure. how do you feel about this NERD project? Did this this fit with what you were hoping for? Were you even hoping for much?
I think because nothing was so whatever, I was curious about an NERD album, and then Lemonade made me say, oh, okay, we're on to something. But I've learned just to not really have expectations. I don't even have time to make expectations for music nowadays. Like, my life's just way too busy. But there's some parts that I was really, really pleased with. There were some parts that I could do without. But overall, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. Anytime my favorites can just give me something, I'm good. And I feel like, again, in about 5 months, this album is going to sound great. So I'm good. I'm cool with it. This album's dope. How about you?
It's wildly inconsistent, but in a way that it's almost just like, this is very clearly like, you know what? Pharrell's got all these crazy ideas. Let's get them out.
Yep.
You know, I had to let go of the fact that my like connotation of what an NERD album is supposed to be. I had to let go of the fact that, you know what? It could be a lot of things apparently. Right. I mean, the NERD sound that we know and love was almost, you know, it's we've talked about on the show before. It's almost an accident, right? The first version I can never think of the title of that album. I just call it the NERD album, which tells you, you know, everything you know. The first version of In Search Of, there's no live instrumentation playing on that, right? It's just Neptune's beats. It was released in Europe, gets delayed. They decide to redo it with this band they had signed, Spy Mob. And all of a sudden, we get this whole new world. But, you know, the idea of what NERD is, maybe it's just, you know what? This is how Pharrell and friends get really creative and do crazy stuff. I'm okay with that. I mean, you know, I wish, you know, parts of this were a little bit more consistent, but it's cool. Just let it flow. Let it ride.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Does that mean it's time to talk about your man, Marshall Mathers?
You know what? How long? Because it's fairly late. So, like, what do you want to give this album? Like, 3 minutes? 5 minutes?
I have track by track notes.
Of course you do.
Oh, man. This album.
Of course you do.
Oh, man.
I just have a synopsis. I don't really have... I have 2 points that I want to make about the album, and I'm good.
Let's make them.
I mean, but it's... You want to share your track by track notes, right?
I mean...
That's what you do, Doc.
You know what's amazing? Walk on Water, I mean, not even close to the worst track on here.
Nah, not at all.
You know, real. I mean, talk about songs that benefit from the context of the album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this song doesn't do it
like
for me.
I actually like the fact that it goes first.
This hook does, like, the song doesn't do it for me. It's too, like, schmaltzy and dramatic, which is, by the way, you could just, there's a lot of songs on here that fit that.
There's a lot of, this album's super hokey.
but you know, I get what he's doing. It's not for me, but that's fine.
Yep.
You know, we come into this string of here's Eminem trying to rap on slower trap tempos. Right. Believe is there's just struggle bars all over the place.
It's clear. Okay, so people say that Eminem doesn't really get out of his house.
We've talked about this on the show. Yeah.
So if it's true that Eminem does not leave the house, he stays in the house all day and watches URL battles because all of these lines reek of battle rap, like that type of wordplay where maybe it works a cappella, you know, with the performance. But when you're hearing it on a tempo and then it's coming from who many consider to be one of the greatest MCs ever, it doesn't help. Doesn't help.
Lots of struggle bars. I'm not a fan of the hook, but here's the thing. Like, you know, this is produced by Eminem and Mr. Porter. Like, you know, this beat is pretty generic at best.
And especially for it to be Mr. Port. But I think a clear theme of these beats is that like a lot of the production on the album is as big as it sounds, and that's kind of like the Rick Rubin effect, and we'll get into that in a second. You can tell that M wanted to rap.
Mm.
So a lot of these beats are very minimalistic and create space for M to rap. So they don't really pick up until like the hook.
Yes.
So it's allowing, and the way that M, even if the bars are struggling, like the way that he strings words together, like it's still like alien form. Like just the way that he rhymes 4 and 5 syllabic patterns.
Sure.
Still just incredibly impressive. Even if the content is just not there, it's still super impressive to hear him string words together like that.
Right. Chloroseptic featuring Fresher, who does the hook. This also produced by Mr. Porter. Like, Eminem's not awful on this, which is saying something, because he's pretty bad on lots of this album. I don't really like the hook. You know, M's trying to make a point on the song about, you know, he's kind of putting his old man hat on and talking about, like, you know, he's making a point about how whack other rappers are. You know, be careful. Be careful when you throw stones on an album like this. It's okay. It's okay.
I also wish that this is the record that apparently 2 Chainz was on, and they took his verse off.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy about that.
I would love to hear what 2 Chainz did on this. I bet you he smoked this.
I bet he sounds better than Eminem.
I bet you he does.
Can't have that.
Can't have that.
Untouchable. Oof. This beat is no good.
So is this the is this the beginning of the Rick Rubin conversation?
Rick Rubin's not on this.
Okay, so good. That's the conversation I want to. Well, is he not on this song or not on this album?
Rick Rubin. Rick Rubin produced "Walk on Water" along with Skylar Grey. But no, he's not on the song. I mean, he's the executive producer, like for the album. So like, but in terms of like, so Untouchable is Eminem, Mark Batson, who's a longtime M and Dre collaborator, Mr. Porter, and I always get this guy's name wrong, Emile Haney. He did Lana Del Rey's old stuff. He's been a producer along for a long time. He also produces for Ed Sheeran, so he's at the next track. but like, those are all 4 like well credentialed, long time producers, folks in the music industry. And this song is just not good. You know, in terms of content, like, look, you know, we all kind of knew that there was going to be, you know, M was going to try to be political at some point in this album, because that's kind of what he thinks he wants to do now. I don't know. I feel like it's really fascinating to watch M try to make a political point, because like when I hear him rap, it's basically like my Facebook feed rapping in a technically impressive way. It's like super obvious.
Wait, say that again.
It's like the same kind of like politics that like I see on like, I don't know. It's like, you know, I mean, basically the point of Untouchable is what? It's like, it's, Eminem has decided to inform us of the revolutionary fact that African Americans have been treated terribly throughout American history. I just want to be like, yes, Eminem, congratulations. Do you have any other gems for us today?
Gems.
Like, okay. And is there a, like, what? I don't understand. Like, yes, we know that. Okay. And it's not that he just discovered this, but it's like he clearly thinks that like there's a portion of his fan base who is going to hear this and be like, wait, do you mean that black people have had disadvantages? No.
I feel like,
what is he doing?
But I think this and another song on the album, and I forgot the name of it,
because we'll started running
to each other. They play into this narrative that it was clear that M was trying to bait Trump with his rollout. Like, he wanted those Trump tweets, and Trump was like, nope. And then they were like, well, what do we do now? Let's just drop the album. I mean, the American flag on the cover and just all this, it's just like, it just doesn't sound right coming from the narrative of Eminem, which is one of the points that I want to make, but we'll continue. We'll get into that when we finish the album.
Yeah, the cover looks like, I'm pretty sure I saw this exact stock image of a cover of like the American flag on like a, You know, like you go to the grocery store and you can get like those little like bags. looks like Stalker. Anyway, Untouchable is just, yeah. I mean, the beat switch at the end is okay, but then I just want to be like, Eminem, no. Like, I know you think it's a good idea to rap from the perspective of like an African American person, but I implore you, stay far away. Like, that is so, I mean, so possible, so easy to get wrong.
But I mean, Eminem has gotten the pass. The quote unquote pass. This is the issue with Eminem, is that at Eminem's height, the things that he did and that he got a pass for doing are now like taboo's not even the word for it. But he's still trying to like execute these things with this pass that no longer applies because the rules have changed. So if he'd have did this in like 2004, 2003, it would have been completely different and way more well received than doing it now. Now it's just not the time. But again, that's to my larger Eminem point that we'll make in a minute.
And I want to make a point about overall, and this is, you know, like the sound of this album is not revolutionary for him. Like, he has been trending in this way since, frankly, he made his return, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he made his return, initially it was a lot of not great Dr. Dre tracks, but he has trended more in this, what I would call melodramatic direction for some of these tracks, right? With the exception of the Ruben stuff that we'll get to in a bit. But the, what's astonishing to me is like, because his voice is very like, it's higher up on the sort of audio spectrum, right? Than some rappers' voices are. And it's no accident that like during his heyday, it was a lot of Dre, right? With big bass lines. Oh, and what was the name of the production duo, of course, who produced a bunch of his other classic records? The Bass Brothers. Like, there's no bass on this album to anchor his voice at all.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know why they think that pairing Eminem with pianos is like a thing, but it's like you need bass for Eminem's voice to rap. Like, an underrated aspect of producing is understanding the frequencies of the rapper or singer's voice and understanding what to pair it with. Like, when I produce for Armand, I specifically cut out, filter, I notch out, I EQ out portions of samples and drums and everything else to make sure that as much as possible his voice fits in the pocket, because I know where his voice sits.
Mm. Well, thank you.
It's why the last record that the thing that we put out for was it the Black Friday thing, I didn't get a chance to do that, which is why I struggled to mix that, plus I was sick and my ears were weird and whatever. Anyway, but like, I purposefully like do that, and you would hope that M's working with most of the same people at this point in his career, right? He's introduced Rick Rubin over the past couple album cycles, but you know, there's a lot of common names for him here. Like, and whoever's like mixing in this, like, there's just very little bass to anchor his voice, and it drives me crazy. All right. River with your boy, Ed Sheeran.
That's not my boy. That's your people.
I'll be honest. I think Ed's hook is the best part of the song.
Yeah. I also want to say that for Ed to, for this feature to get the backlash that it got when the track list came out, he's not terrible on this or the NERD album. Like, it's not repulsive or embarrassing. Like, why is he on? Whether I like it or not, it doesn't sound like it doesn't go together.
Yeah.
If anything, Eminem's like the oddball out.
Well, you'll be stunned to hear that, like, Ed Sheeran, you know, wrote the hook, and then him and Emile Haney, like, they did the beat. You know, they came up with most of the melody.
Of course.
And sent it
That's
off
what this,
and sent yeah, it off to Marshall, right? I mean, this is an Ed Sheeran record. It's the Ed Sheeran stimulus package. I think this beat is fine, actually. I think this, if there is such a thing as crossover radio, this song is total catnip for it.
He had, you know what? He's got quite a, and that's the other point I want to make. He's got quite a few crossover records. And I meant to make that point about the NERD album. Lots of Apple Music songs on that NERD album. We will 100% see people dancing behind multicolored backdrops to some of those NERD records in 2018. Anyway.
Yeah, River is fine, except I don't really care about Eminem on this.
Yeah.
I maybe this is me like, I think if you're going to be a fan of Eminem in 2018, you have to be prepared that he's going to, like, rap about these melodramatic, like, sort of, like, pseudo-personal things, but they don't ever, like, considering that Ed Sheeran wrote the hook first and then sent it to Eminem, like, Eminem tells the story on this song, right? And I'm like, is that a real story? I don't really know. But it kind of fits in M's, like, current thing of, like, you know, I don't know. I just feel there's a lot of drama on this album. I'm not really one for drama in rap, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's also different when it's drama from, like, a 40...
That 41 is also very true.
Yeah, so it's just... Yeah.
I'm going to mention the Remind Me intro for no reason other than to say this is the only Dr. Dre production on the album.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
The intro to Remind Me.
Oh.
That's it. No other Dr. Dre production anywhere on the album.
This is Dr. Dre?
Yep. Oh. That's Remind Me, the intro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But we can just ignore that because we should really talk about Remind Me, the song.
I don't even remember what it sounded like. I'm not gonna lie.
It's the one that samples Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll.
Oh no. Yes.
Boy, this is just absurdly terrible. Like, everybody involved, and you know who mixed this record? Dr. Dre. So he should feel bad too. But it's produced by Rick Rubin. It's so bad. So bad. You know what song doesn't ever need to be sampled? I Love Rock and Roll. You know who's now done it twice? Eminem.
Him and Ruben did
this on Berserk.
Okay, I was wondering. Okay, I know I'm not crazy. I thought this was a song that I had heard before.
They pulled a Nasir Jones and did the same song twice. Except they made it worse. And I've seen people call this playful or tongue-in-cheek. No. No, it's a bad take. This is just a bad song.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst songs I've heard in a long time.
Oh, boy.
This is bad.
Are we here already?
Well, we've got more I'll be talking about later. But Remind Me is so bad. I played this for Marissa in the car, and she just looked at me like I had five heads growing. She was like, what is this? Yeah.
Okay.
How do you feel about it?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm just ready to get to the end. I don't know if there's
the revival interlude is there's it's a completely random interlude with no Eminem on it. What was Just Blaze thinking on Like Home?
Whoa! This is Just Blaze?
It is Just Blaze and Eminem. And to give you a hint of how old this might be, this has Kanai Finch on the keys. This might be like 9 years old.
So this might have been something that was on Recovery.
Yeah.
That they still had. Yeah. I mean, I remember the story about, you know, Just Blaze and Eminem critiquing Just Blaze's production and stuff.
Just Blaze, co-written by Skylar Grey. Obviously, that's a Skylar Grey hook that Alicia Keys is singing. The hook is just so bad. I was not really prepared for Eminem to try to do like anti-Trump, but then turn it into like pro-America, rah, rah, rah. Like, I was just not really ready for that on a schmaltzy Just Blaze record. Like, there's just so much I'm not happy with about this song.
Yeah. I feel like this song, like, to me, said Eminem heard Empire State of Mind and was like, I want to do that song.
Well, the timing would be about right.
Yeah, timing would be about right.
But Alicia jumping on the record is recent.
Mm.
But I think this Just Blaze beat has probably been sitting around for a while.
Yeah. Detroit, concrete jungle, where this is the same thing.
Oh. And see, I don't like this record. I don't like that record. It's way better than Like Home. Way better.
Man, going to 444 made me realize how much I hate that song. I hate New York State of Mind. Oh my God. Oh, that song is bad. Anyway.
Oh man, Bad Husband.
Speaking of hearing Jay-Z songs and saying, I want to do that.
Featuring ex-ambassadors. Oh, you know what? I didn't make that connection. That's a good one. This is your man, Alex the Kid, making an appearance.
Listen, man, Alex the Kid is dating Halle Berry. So I wonder if she heard this beat and was like, you got one. I'm proud of you.
We got one.
We got one. Yeah, can you imagine Halle Berry like dancing in the house to this beat? Being like, yo, Alex, we got one.
Here's the thing. Like, this song...
They're not ready for this one.
I could see this song doing well. Like, in a corner of the radio universe that I don't ever listen to, I can imagine that this might do well.
This is 100% getting used for a Mark Wahlberg movie.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's definitely set in, like, the gritty part of Boston.
Yep.
He definitely has not been good to his wife, but he's trying. He's got a heart of gold.
Yeah, he's down on his luck. Definitely lost down his job. Luck. He has a daughter that he really cares about. They're really close.
And he's maybe got one chance left. They should just call the movie Bad Husband.
Yeah, call the movie Bad Husband. And then, yeah. But Eminem definitely heard 444. I was like, man, I really did Kim not so good. And when I heard this, I was like, is he still dealing with Kim?
Oh, man.
Yo, Haley's like 30.
Yep. The hook to this song will totally get in your head. So stay away. Stay far away. And it's also completely nonsensical because, like, he's like, I could be a good, what is it, good father? A good father, but a great dad. And then a bad husband. But I'm like, how can you be a good father? Anyway, this is that perfect, like, this is the personification of, like, Eminem when he's trying to be, like, he wants it to be, like, melodramatic. And it's meant to be, like, kind of stadium status, but just the wrong kind of stadium status. Like, I've never heard X-Ambassadors in my life. Apparently they're a thing. I hear this and I'm like, this kind of doesn't sound that dissimilar from like the pseudo stadium status country that's out. It's just not country. It's a pop form of that.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to hear this ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, Alex, the Kid and Skylar Grey, Tragic Endings.
We got another one.
I'll say this much.
Back to back.
This song is a bit more aggressive than I would expect from a normal Alex the Kid, Skylar Grey, Eminem collaboration, but I'm just not, I just, these hooks and beats are so overwrought, and it's all like, speaking of songs that belong on a soundtrack to a Mark Wahlberg movie where he's in a dramatic relationship, this is like the song that plays when they like, they had a fight and it got a little physical.
Oh, like he hit her?
Yep. They called the cops. And this is what leads. This is what leads into the one last chance.
Yeah. So like they call the cops, and then his daughter sees him get arrested.
Yep. Definitely. And there's like that look of disappointment and shame.
Yep. She doesn't want her dad to get arrested, but she also saw him hit mommy.
Right.
And so she doesn't know what to do. And then her mom just kind of like, they do the one hug where you like grab the child's head and press them into your chest. Like, why do you grab, have you ever palmed a child's head and put it into your chest? Why would you do, would you want to get hugged that way? As an adult, would somebody grab the side of your face and pushed it into their chest? How would you feel? I'm asking generally.
That's a hug for the parent. It's not a hug for the child.
Absolutely. That's uncomfortable for me, mom. Let go. I can't hear.
Right. And I need to watch dad go get walked off in cuffs. While Tragic Endings plays.
Oh, shoot.
This is amazing. I don't like Eminem on this at all. I'm good.
Yeah.
Nowhere Fast is a weird, Framed is up next. First of all, this is produced by Fred Reck. Where has he been?
Okay. Then that makes the statement that I'm about to make all the more clear.
I kind of like this beat.
This is the best beat on the album.
Unfortunately, Eminem has decided he wants to rap about murdering women in 2017. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, even if the story wasn't like that, the fact that you chose the storytell on this, like, this totally was a rapidy rap space. Like, just rap.
Yeah.
Just rap. And you chose a storytell on that beat?
And of course he had to name drop Ivana Trump. Like, I was like, come on.
I told you he was baiting. He was baiting.
He's trying to bait.
He's totally baiting.
He really wants Framed to like blow up on right wing media. You know, he wants this to be on Fox News.
Yeah, he totally thinks the whole get on Fox News. Like, do they even put rappers on Fox News anymore? I think Fox News kind of got hip to that. Like, hey, wait a minute. They're using us.
The hook is bad on Framed. I like the beat, and I wish Eminem wasn't rapping about murdering women, because we're kind of we're all past that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Like, that D12 album could never happen now.
No way. American Psycho could not happen in
2017. Oh, man.
Could not happen. So, yeah. Okay, let's
move on. Nowhere Fast is weird. This is Rock Mafia and Hit-Boy. Those are definitely Hit-Boy drums. They don't really work well at all. This does not even sound like an Eminem song. I mean, this clearly was Rock Mafia was shopping this around, and they got M to bite. I have no idea what's going on with this song.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep it real. Yeah. Like, from after Framed,
well, hold on, because
there's one other song that isn't terrible.
Right. Rick Rubin knows how to make one type of song.
Yeah.
And him and Eminem, when they get together, know exactly how to make one type of song. It's going to be jokey and it's going to have a rock thing. And, like, you know, no. This hook is no. Like, the sample is from Boogie Nights, like, which I guess some people are liking. But I'm like, no. Sorry, Rick Rubin. Like, I don't know what you did on Yeezus or what you did to help Father Stretch My Hands. But, like, those skills are not happening here anywhere.
He didn't do anything. Messed up Yeezus too, but
he did not mess. Yeezus is great.
Yeah, okay.
He got Yeezus out the door, so I appreciate Rick Rubin for that. But no, yeah. Offended. This feels like something Busta Rhymes would rap over. And I thought about that even before I heard the final verse when he decides to go full Buddha 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 Buddha, and you know, because apparently people care about the fact that he holds the world record for fastest rapping.
Hold on. So I didn't get that far, but I did see your tweet. This is the Butter Butter song?
Oh, it is.
Okay. So we can...
You can skip at least two-thirds of the way through.
Oh, right. I was listening to this earlier, and I was like, again, like, from a technical standpoint, he's really stringing words together really well, even though he's talking about absolutely nothing.
This hook is terrible.
This hook is terrible.
It's just so bad.
Eat my turds. Wordplay, girl, take this poll like a survey. Today wasn't my birthday. Oh my god!
Wait, what? Hold it. Pause the track.
What?
Take the poll like a survey.
What? Oh my god. Oh my god. My girl just looked at me like, why are you still talking?
We get her on the side.
No, she hasn't heard this album yet. She's lucky. Okay. I haven't subjected her to such mess.
This is why we do errands on Saturday. It's my opportunity to play for Marissa the stuff we're going to talk about this week.
It's just clear that, like, your wife just, like, really, really loves you
so much, like, so much.
She should clearly be like, all right, you know what? Like, I'm about to cancel Apple Music. Like, you can stop doing this to me. Or she cuts off all the airplay in the house. Like, she somehow configures it to where, like, all your stuff won't connect. Cause this, you playing this for her is crazy.
I don't even think I got this. No, I mean, we definitely skipped really quickly through the internet. Yeah. Anyway, Offended's bad.
It's very bad.
Okay. You know, we get another Skylar Gray written hook on an Outs the Kid beat. This Pink record. You know, I have no use for these melodramatic stadium anthems. I'm good. So I just want to talk about In Your Head.
Yo, first of all, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of like that they sampled this.
No, so I thought this was gonna be terrible. Like, when this sample first comes on, I was really just like, oh, come, Scram Jones, come on.
Oh, Scram Jones did this.
But you know what? This actually sounds like a vintage Eminem song.
Yeah, it does.
And I actually really like that. Like, they sampled out in the hook, but then, like, they bring the guitar in to play a little bit of the melody throughout the beat under. Like, this song mm-hmm. has a lot of, like, of lower end stuff happening, not like in a blow at your subway, but like to anchor Eminem's voice. And this sounds kind of like, honestly, this doesn't sound at all far removed from, like, the kind of beat I would have heard him on in 2003, 2004. Like, this sounds about right.
Yeah.
In a different album, I think this could actually work. But by this point, we're track 17, and I just heard 16 tracks I can't stand. So.
Yep.
You know.
Placement on this does not help. This is like when a team is down 40 and they score and they like hit a layup or a three.
The NBA team that goes on like that like mid fourth quarter run before they get finished off again.
Yeah, it's like when like third string comes in,
right?
And like all the star players are rested, and then it looks like they're gonna like, oh, if the game was 15 minutes longer, they might come back.
Right.
Yeah.
And Castle, the next record, kind of continues a little bit the feel of In Your Head. So this is DJ Khalil, minus the sample. It's not a bad song in terms of sound.
Go ahead.
And it's interesting, like Castle and A Rose are this like two song combo where he's talking about his drug overdose, right? Which is okay. Like that's a real thing that happened to him. But like these songs just aren't that great. Like A Rose is produced by Rick Rubin with a Bette Midler sample because sure, why not? At least it's a different kind of Rick Rubin beat than I've heard elsewhere on this album. And it's an interesting song again, because like him getting real about his overdose, but I just don't think it's particularly well produced or really that well done, you know, but I want to give him credit for like not rapping about like, you know, not trying to like rap funny struggle bars.
Right. Right. But again, for why are you putting Scram Jones and DJ Khalil tracks at the end of the album one? And the album has what, 17, 18 songs on it?
Yeah, 17 if you discount the two interludes or whatever.
Yeah. And so the sequencing doesn't help that. And then again, like, it's kind of like, this is what I mean, again, I didn't get this far. Like, even though I thought In Your Head was dope, I agree with you, just the beat or whatever. But like, why, this is what I want to hear from Eminem in 2017. Maybe if I was to say, what would I want to hear? Maybe it's like, I'm 40 years old. Well, no, you know what? I take that back. Well, okay, yeah. So let's have this conversation.
I was trying to figure out what I actually want to hear from Eminem, and maybe that made me realize I'm being unfair to this album because I don't know what I want to hear from Eminem right now.
So here's the thing. Walk on Water, lyrically, isn't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Walk on Water terribly isn't, or lyrically isn't terrible.
Terribly isn't lyrical.
Terribly isn't lyrical. So, like, I would so people kind of like vilified him for that, but I feel like if that song would have had drums on it and if it wasn't so melodramatic, if it would have been presented differently, I think it would have been a good conversation piece to talk about why hip hop doesn't mature, why it doesn't grow up, and why it stays in only in this one space for the youngins. Like that would have been a good talking point, but Eminem wanted to hit Trump. And when Trump didn't bite, they clearly didn't have a plan B. And so now it's like a bunch of Trump jokes and fart jokes and take this poll like a survey. And like, okay, so yeah, you're 42 in that regard to, you know, where you don't understand hip hop anymore, but you're also 42 talking about like different women in your life and still having issues with the girl that you have killed on record like three times, and I didn't even know you were still even involved with, like, clearly something else is going on because your child is absolutely out of the house and has her own life. So like, I say all that to say it was just weird. This would have been a good place for an adult Eminem album to happen. But you know what Eminem is? Eminem is the Attitude Era.
Mm.
You know what?
Yeah. Rap is rap. Yeah. Okay.
Eminem is the Attitude Era. So for those who may not catch what I'm saying, in 1998, 1999, the Attitude Era is Stone Cold, The Rock, D-Generation X. Even if we're talking WCW, that's NWO, that's Sting in the white face paint, the Crow Sting. So at the time, we're 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. So when you're watching wrestling and you've got fart jokes and you've got girls getting stripped naked and you've got toilet humor as a teenager and a preteen, that's amazing. Like, that's great. But the way that I know not to, like, how to talk with people about wrestling is if they say, oh man, the Attitude Era was the best time in wrestling. I always tell them, go back and watch. Cause when you go back and watch the Attitude Era now, it is terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, how did this even, so Eminem is the same way. Nothing is different from Eminem's show, Marshall Mathers LP, like prime Eminem. Nothing is different context-wise, but the world around us has changed so much. And then we are 10, 12, 15 years older now, and we're still hearing this guy rap about the same stuff. And we're like, dude, like, get a grip, man. Get a hold of yourself. That's what this album is.
Yeah, I don't dispute that at all. I'm just, yeah, no, I don't want to hear this. Like, there's a lot here. Like, this is the total opposite approach of like what, to loop back to what we were talking about much, you know, hours ago when we were recording earlier. Like, when we were talking about, you know, Big Sean and like Big Sean's approach where it's like a couple things here, a couple things there. This is like this big overwrought over like, you know, this is, you know, Views length, right? This thing is massive. And like, it's just overdone, overstuffed. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a world where like this becomes incredibly successful and actually all of these big, cause like, you know, they like there's, I don't know, like that. Sure. The pink song. Sure. They could push that, right? The Bad Husband song. God help us. They could push that. Like Home. They could push it. River. They could push it. Like, are they going to push all these records? Really? In 2018? Really? No, they're not.
I agree with that. It's the
Views problem. Yeah. I mean, Views was much better. But like, you got all these songs that are clearly attempting to be big attempts at radio play, but like, that's not happening.
Yeah, you're not gonna, the days of you can't have five songs on the radio at the same time from the same project.
Also, it would help if they were really good.
And it helps that they were good, yeah.
Right, they're gonna have to push these records.
I'm still mad at Drake for snatching With You from Party. That was just really stupid, but whatever.
Right, the Ed Sheeran record might do something on its own, because Ed Sheeran's the guy right now.
Yeah.
But like
crazy.
But like the right, like, you know, they really want to push, you know, Like Home, man. You know,
they're 100% pushing Like Home.
Right. Right. You know, I'm just imagining that getting performed on like a football field with like American flags in the background. And like,
yep,
I'm like bashing. I'm like, I'm bashing my head in. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's NFL where it is right now. Yep.
This is not a good album, though.
No.
I mean,
no,
just. No, and I'll give the critics credit. Most of them are all on this. They're all saying like, this is bad. Stay away.
Yeah, but I kind of feel bad for him because, really? Yeah, just again, like he's a victim of his own success. So it was cool for Eminem to be like a drug addict 15 years ago and to rap about it, and then we got him sober and he can't do anything because, you know, I don't know if everything's an open door. Like, I'm not sure, but like, I feel like Eminem cares. I think that's why I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I feel like he cares. He wants to be a great rapper. He loves hip hop. Like, Tretch is his favorite rapper. Like, Eminem always got the pass because he wasn't a culture vulture. It's the same thing with Macklemore. Like, you know, shout out to Hyphen. Hyphen always co-signs and says that Eminem or that Macklemore is like just legit loves the culture and just got put into a not ideal situation and people killed him for it. So I feel like this is really bothering M because M is like, yo, like I've been your favorite for so long. Like, what happened? And time just moved on without him, unfortunately. It's like worst case scenario. So it's one of those instances where it's like, does this affect his legacy? Is Eminem still going to be considered one of the greats is he still going to be considered one of the greats even though he's dropped a universally bad album? Now, you and I know that this isn't the first bad album that he's put out, but he's never gotten backlash like this.
I mean,
what is this going to do for him?
He hasn't put a good album out in, let me do the math, 15 years?
I was going to go back and listen to Recovery, and I might do that when the show is over because I got to go hit the streets for a second. I might listen to Recovery again, and maybe I'll tweet about what I think about it, because people largely like that album and I don't remember how I feel about it.
I remember not liking it. Is that the one that has No Love?
Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's, yep. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking right now. We got, I mean, Bad Meets Evil, Recovery, Relapse, Curtain Call, Encore. Yeah. It's been a while.
And on that note, is there anything else we need to talk about?
This is
3 hours and 10 minutes of raw content. We'll see what it gets edited down to. This is a lot of recording tonight.
Sheesh. Yeah, we had a lot of freestyles to get. We Black Thought this episode.
Hmm.
So
does that mean we went on too long?
Ooh.
Mm. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening to this week's episode. As always, hit us up at CRS Podcast on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Make sure to grab Armand's for today's project. Go watch the video for the hold. Anything else you need to announce, Armand? You need to talk about?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. Just thank you guys for listening. And I'm sure we won't be doing a Christmas episode, but maybe we'll do one before the end of the year.
Yeah, I think we'll try to do an end of the year wrap up sometime around that New Year's time. But yeah, so we will definitely be off next week. Have a good holiday weekend if you celebrate, or if you don't, hopefully enjoy the lack of people who are out while you're, trying to go get something to eat on Christmas Day. Anything else, Armand?
Nah, man. See y'all next time. Thanks for listening.